Our scripture today is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Hear now, well, let's pray first, and then we'll hear God's word. Lord, we thank you for this reading which we're about to do and for the expounding upon it. We pray that both are glorifying to you, and we ask you, Lord, that as we read your word and hear your word spoken upon, that you use it for your glory and open up our eyes, our ears and our hearts, that we may receive what it is that you have for us, you alone, and that your name and only your name is praised. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 12, 19 to 21. Hear now God's word. Yeah, let me move this so I can see it. All right. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Put my thing here. Hold on one moment. There we go. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Try to get that out of the way. Here we go. We had already talked about my trip to Myrtle Beach. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But one of the things that this scripture reminds us about the Bible that's very prominent in the Bible is that the Bible is full of lists. In fact, I was told that you can buy, there's a book available somewhere called Lists of the Bible. And it's nothing more than just all the different kind of lists that you can find in the Bible. Now, I was very blessed to marry the woman that I ended up marrying. One of the things that is fairly prominent that she likes to do all the time is making lists. She's not the only one that does that. How many of you enjoy making lists? There's something about lists. It's not just, I think lists serve a couple functions. For one, they allow you to order your day. It seems like a day is much more able to be handled when you kind of know what needs to be done or what's happening on that day. Got to wash the dishes, got to go to the grocery store, got to do the laundry. So you write this stuff down. Some people are so excited about making lists that they put on their list, got to make a list. That's number one. And then you go from there. Now, the other thing that's also exciting about making lists is what? Checking off the list. That is the purest form of catharsis. I mean, it's just, and not just, there's emotion in that check. You could check it with anger. Boom, done. Never need to do that again. Or with sense of satisfaction. Boom. Oh, man, that feels so good. Or just a sense of joy. Boom, done. Oh, that was so much fun. You know, whatever the case, that's why people write, got to make a list today as one of them, because as soon as you're done writing your list, you get to check that off, and you're done. There's something about lists. Now, the Bible is full of lists. One of the lists that we've covered several weeks ago is my favorite list, because it's shorter. It's only got four items on it, and it's a list that the people in the early church and how they lived and how they did worship, how they did church, really, and the kinds of things that were important to them. And I think it's an important list for us to kind of check to see if we're doing these things within our church. One, that do they follow the teachings of the apostles. Now, for us, it would be the teachings of Jesus. Excuse me. Two, they focus upon fellowship, getting together. Three, they focus on breaking of bread. Not just communion, but also eating together, having meals together. And four, they focused on prayer. When I look at our church, and if we're following these things, I think we're doing okay. We follow the teachings of Jesus. We try to fellowship together, especially as best as we can now through this time of COVID. We break bread, not just through communion, but we eat together, we dine together, we invite each other out to lunch and to dinner and so on and so forth, and we devote ourselves to prayer. Now, this is a fabulous list, and it talks about the things that the church should do in order to be the church. And we can check each of those off, but does that mean we're done? We have lists for my kids. All the time. And we tell them the chores that they have to do. Now, they know this, so we don't feel like we have to tell them every day, but sometimes we do have to tell them every day. Have to do the dishes, specifically take the clean dishes out of the dishwasher. Got to run the vacuum cleaner. There's picking up poop outside. There's, during the fall, there's raking the leaves. There's all kind of chores that need done. Do your laundry. Now, they could go and they could do everything that we tell them to do and check those off. Does that mean they're done for the day? That they have no responsibilities left? Those of you who love making lists, when you're done with your list, does that mean that you're done now with life, you have nothing else that needs done? If something should come up and it's not on your list, does that mean you ignore it? Sometimes. But other times, you know, it needs to get done. Sometimes the list that's given is just not enough. If my kids were all done with those lists that we gave them, you know, that I just mentioned, there are other things that they're responsible of doing. For example, they still have to not hit one another. They still have to brush their teeth. They're still responsible to keep their room at least somewhat red up, especially if the door's open. They still have to feed the dog. They still have to join us for dinner on some nights. There's still things that need done. Now, our list that we first read when we gathered together is Romans chapter 12. This is a much bigger list. And it all pertains to what the church still has to do in order to be a church, in order to count itself as one who follows God. Now, we still have to do the teaching, follow the teachings of Jesus. We still have to fellowship. We still have to break bread. We still have to pray. But this list it's much bigger. I love this list. It's such a beautiful list. Love must be sincere. Not just say that you love someone, but truly mean that you love someone. Be willing to walk with them through the thick and thin. I know that we say that we love Trafford. Is that true? Do we truly love Trafford, that we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to share that love with Trafford? Or do we love the ideal of Trafford? Or do we love the nostalgia of Trafford, what it once was? We love not Trafford as it is, but we love the memory of Trafford. For love to be truly sincere, what we love is how Trafford is, or that person is now, in those moments, and willing to do whatever is necessary for them. Hate what is evil and cling what is good. I wonder if I do this. I say I hate the things that are evil, but when I scroll through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, the things that I pay attention to the most are the things that are evil. I don't share the videos oftentimes that make me happy, although I do that on occasion. But what gets most of my attention is those bad videos. Is it because I hate it? Or because I am weirdly drawn to it? Kind of like, have you ever been stuck in traffic and you wonder what the issue is? And you find later that it's because there was an old accident and everything's been cleared off the road and drawn and pulled off to the side, but everyone's got to slow down to look. Do we as a church truly hate what is evil and cling to what is good? And I'm not going to go through the rest of these because this is an enormous list. But this is the roadmap that God has laid out for us through Paul on how we can live a life that is pleasing to God. None of this is easy stuff, but it helps to shape our journey throughout the rest of our lives. It reminds me when we used to travel to Myrtle Beach, and we would start to plan that trip and start to get ready for our trip to Myrtle Beach, we would need at least a week prior to going on our trip in order to plan for our trip. And my mom would make lists, a big list of those things that we had to make sure that we had. What was on those lists? Toothbrush, toothpaste, towels, bathing suits, boogie boards, sleeping bags, pillows, blankets, stuffed animals, some toys. We couldn't bring all of our toys, just a few of them. We had to make sure that someone was available to take care of the pets while we were gone. Had to make sure that the windows were closed, that the doors were locked. That we had this huge list. But that wasn't the only thing we had to do. Remember, now I understand that in many of your eyes, I'm not that old. But I am old enough to remember that prior to leaving to Myrtle Beach, my dad would sit down at the dining room table, pull out the big travel map, lay it down on the table, and start reviewing the route. Reviewing the route was more than a one-day affair. He had his list from his old route. I mean, forbid that this was the first time we made this trip, because that route making was really long. Dad had his roller out and had to measure out the distance and had to write in 5-ish miles, make a left-hand turn onto Route 47, you know, whatever the case is, go through this. And then he'd have this list. You'd have to keep that list year after year after year. Because if he lost it, you'd have to do the route making all over again. And you just can't do that. But if you kept the list long enough, say 10 years, that list would never look like it did the first year. There would be scribbles out. There'd be little notes in the corner. Don't take this route if it's between the hours of such and such because the traffic lights are the traffic's too thick. Or make sure you don't take this route during these weeks because you would fine-tune the lists year after year after year. This list we have in front of us in Romans, this is our travel map. There's no checking these off. We can write our notes. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. This sounds easy, but in actuality, it's hard. Bless those who persecute you. I did this last week, but I still need work on doing this again. This is how we get. This is how we need to walk the road that God places upon. We're all excited to get to heaven. We're reading this book and we're doing the Bible study for Manner of the Great Divorce. And in it, C.S. Lewis talks about heaven. Now, it's not a perfect depiction, he says it, of what heaven looks like, but it's the idea of heaven. And one of the ideas that he expresses about heaven is that it's a chance for us to dwell in total love, to be in a place where we need for nothing, where we want for nothing, but where we are able to experience creation and we're able to experience reality in an untainted way, where this is true reality beyond anything we've experienced here on earth, but a reality made and enveloped totally in love. And that sounds fantastic. And through the grace of God, one day we'll get there. But right now, we're on our journey. And God has placed to us lists and roadmaps in order to follow. And I pray that through faith in Jesus Christ, we're able to walk this path that God laid before us. The beauty of it all is if we can't, if we mess up, if we fall short, we have a Lord who picks us up, helps us brush our knees off, so that we can walk it once again, so that we can keep going. I pray that as we are here in Trafford as the Church of Trinity, that we're able to look at Romans 12:9-21, and follow the path laid before us, so that those whom we encounter may know the love of Christ and may know that they are loved this day and every day. I thank God for the opportunities we'll have to do just that. So I leave you with this benediction. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of the Lord goes with you.